Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 553, not necessarily the box office report for the week ending February 23rd, 2020.
I can't believe we're so close to March.
I know.
It's crazy.
It did seem like January was like a million years long.
Yeah,
like
it did. That's true.
It's kind of the theme on the internet, but they're not wrong. Like,
no.
It just was like...
just kept going.
Get over with already.
Let's roll.
Yeah.
I'm tired of cold weather.
I just don't understand, never understood why February's 28 days and January's 31. Why not just make January 30?
February 30.
Level, ta-da, fixed it.
Level it out.
Why are they all like that?
Yeah.
Why are there 30 and 31 and then 28? And it's like, do you know that probably averages to 30?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What?
If you just do it the right way.
There's got to be a reason they did it, but I don't.
It's 2020. We should be able to figure this out.
But now we'd all, we couldn't get people to go to the metric system.
I know. That's true.
Like,
yeah.
You think, which I'm glad.
Like I mean, I don't want to. I don't want to relearn it.
I'm like, I wished we had switched to the metric system, but I'm also glad I didn't have to learn it.
I don't. I can barely do Common Core math. I don't need to learn a whole new measuring system.
Common Core math is the best, and here's why. As a parent,
you don't have to help your kids with their homework.
I don't got
to
help my kids with their homework.
That is very true.
Sorry,
yeah.
It says right here, don't teach you the old way. I don't know the new way. You're on your own.
You're on your own, kid.
Yeah.
I tried one time.
Why don't you ask that YouTube you like so much?
Yeah, right.
That it's on there.
She came home. So she started doing like math, that kind of math in like first grade. And she came home with a problem. And I was like, well, yeah, it's 6 + 3. And she was like, what? And I was like, the answer is 9. What are you? Why are you doing all of this extra work? She's like, I don't know. I was like, me either. Good luck.
Yeah.
I'm not helping
Well,
you.
They say like, that it helps. Like, it's more work at the
apparently
beginning.
You can do it in your brain.
Like it's a way to visualize,
yeah.
And you can break things down into chunks. And I find that I do that on my own when I'm doing math. Like,
Oh, really?
I'll be like, okay, well, I know 300 and 300 is so like, and then all I have to do is focus on these last two numbers.
Right.
I've kind of ended up doing that myself.
Weird.
And so, like, because I'm bad at math.
I'm terrible at math.
Yeah. And but I will say like that's I use that on my kids all the time. I'm like, go look it up on YouTube. I'm like, there's somebody with a YouTube channel that will explain all this.
It varies much simpler than I can.
Yeah. So I'm like, just go look on YouTube.
Right.
I feel like there's a missed opportunity for this whatever they call our Common Core math. Is that
yeah,
the name?
It's Common Core.
Has Tom Lehrer not updated his new math song to? Have you guys heard New Math?
No.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so you know the guy that did the Elements song. You know Tom Lehrer. Tom.
I know the name.
You're of the age that would know him. And he's like 94.
Oh,
so
sure,
like,
sure.
I'm just saying. But yeah, he did this Elements song that I think Daniel Radcliffe was on a late show one time.
Oh,
and
he rapped
did it.
He rapped it.
I think
it.
So. But
yeah.
Because he's like, yeah, and he says Tom Lehrer's song or whatever. The guy was brilliant. He sat at a piano. He was an inspiration for Weird Al. Like when I interviewed Weird Al, he said Tom Lehrer was one of his influences. But he does this song called New Math, and he's singing at the piano. He's like, you can't take two from one. Two is more than one. So you do. You know, it's this jingle, right? And all about it's hilarious.
This is why we need Animaniacs back.
Right. Yeah. It's a very much, those things that I think.
The capitals of the countries.
And I think they maybe didn't Elements, but the capital, the the country, whatever they do, is just like New Math. It's that same kind of, or no, I'm sorry, like the Element song.
Yeah.
They kind of did a take on that. So anyway, but yeah, Tom Lehrer, if you've never, the guy was so smart and again, an inspiration. If you like Weird Al, I mean, he was the predecessor, and he has all these great live recordings where people went to see him. He just sits at a piano and does these jingles, and you can hear the crowd just going crazy laughing at it. So, I mean, a talented guy to not only be able to play well. I mean, he's playing and he's singing well, but he is doing comedy with the songs. You know what I mean? It's just like the fact that you can do all that stuff together. It's so cool.
All I know is my math is easier.
Yeah.
No, your math is the math you know.
That's true.
Like, I think it's so funny when people get so mad at Common Core math. I'm like, they're just arriving at the same thing a different way. Like, why does this threaten
it's
your manhood?
It's crazy to see her. So she's doing fractions now. I got nothing. I'm like, man, I could barely do that when it was normal.
Yeah.
Like, and now you want me to add this Common Core crap to it? No, thank you.
Yeah, but it's just
go talk to your mom.
But it's just because it's not the way you learn.
It is. That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There has to be a reason they do it.
That was like,
because it's the visualization. It breaks it down into chunks.
Yeah, you do like fives, and it's
and so it's like it's more convoluted with smaller numbers, but it makes adding or doing math with larger numbers easier and faster, and you can do it in your head,
right?
In a way that you can't. Most people can't.
Yeah.
With the old way.
Nope.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm not
a calculator on my phone.
Yeah, totally. Like, I would never go back and relearn, but I'm just like, okay, well, that's, you know.
Yeah, and it's
funny. Like, people get so like, you would never go to a doctor if the doctor is like, I'm doing this surgery the way we did it in 1921 because it worked then, and by God, I'm not changing.
Here, have this cocaine.
Fine. But if we. God forbid we change an educational theory.
Right,
everybody poops themselves, and I'm not. I'm just like,
here, have this. We're just gonna just bite on this stick.
Yeah,
and we'll call.
I guess the way that the school marm did it in the one room house. That's probably still the best way, right?
I think it has to do with. I mean, this is the problem with the internet in general. Everyone's so self centered. It's like, well, if you're not doing it my way, I mean, obviously this is the best way. Like, everyone is so just focused on their thing.
And here's the thing: like, if you want to do long division, nobody's stopping you.
No, man. Take your time.
You're not
do
taking it away.
Yeah, that'll still work.
Yeah.
It's,
if you want to do it that way, that's fine.
I guess. Okay.
I could just imagine though some kind of bit on like a Family Guy type show where some guy's doing the old math and the police come and just take him away and throw him in Guantanamo or something.
It's like, oh man,
anti-American.
I so enjoy after a long day at work coming home and sitting down and. Doing long division.
I know. I can't wait.
And now they've robbed me of it.
Right up there next to the crossword puzzles at the you know the drugstore or whatever on the rack.
Fine. Like
crosswords,
those...
Sudoku, long division problems. You know.
I at least like doing like crosswords. Long division sucks.
Yeah, crosswords are okay.
Yeah.
This was not an attack on crosswords. I was just grouping them together. That's all.
As long as it has a theme based around movies or television.
Exactly.
Or in your case, wrestling.
Yes. Yeah, all day.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All day.
So, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
I'm Kevin.
Oh, yeah. We should introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
You already said you're Kevin. God, now who's narcissist?
I have to do it in the right.
Now
my OCD. I've got to do it in the order. It just doesn't work.
But now we all have to introduce ourselves twice.
I know. This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
Now we're all back at it. this is cycle.
And I don't like to introduce myself twice because then I'm Tom.
And if you say it three times, he disappears, I guess?
No, he shows up.
I show up in someone's mirror.
That's right.
He
disappears from here, goes to someone else's mirror.
Yeah.
So we'll just be another one of ours.
Yeah, right.
And then he'll be on the show shares again next week.
That's how I get you.
Wait a minute. What's the rule for if you leave halfway through? We've had that situation.
Ask Blake. I don't know.
It's funny because it's true. Yeah. I don't know.
That was one of the most awkward moments of this show where we're just like,
we just didn't know.
All right. Yeah, like, okay.
I don't even know what episode that was.
I don't remember either, but we were at your house. We were still at the old.
Oh, it wasn't here?
No, it was at the other house.
Yeah, it was at the other house.
Yeah. And we were like mid-conversation, and he just looks at us all and just goes, and stands up and walks away.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
Okay.
He never came back?
No, he didn't.
We waited. Yeah.
No, I mean, ever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, also true. Yeah.
That's how I ended my marriage.
Just got up and walked away.
Just nodded and was like, I'm done here.
You know what? We've had a bad run,
yeah.
But we'll call it a day.
We've had a bad run, and you've made it worse. Yeah. And so, good day to you.
I'll take care of yourself. Yeah. Or don't. I don't care. Yeah.
So, now can I do shameless plugs? Is that okay?
This is Kevin. Just
no.
Ah, you love Common Core, don't you?
Yeah.
So,
you can't take two from one. Two's more than.
So, shameless plugs, Apple Podcasts, subscribe. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page and join the group, the League of Show Sharers. And you can also share a show in real life if you consider the Facebook real life. And then we will read your name. So here are people who were kind enough to share the episode last week. Librarian Cynthia, Zara Vandercreek, Carl Clarkson, Ralph Tribble, Aaron Marlowe, Glenn Cougar, Melon Brewer.
That's hilarious.
I mean,
so good.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was last episode or online or something, but I saw that name and I'm like, that is a fantastic.
That is a great name. Gabriel Lugo, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Sanders, Griffin Fox Smith, Ron Johnson, Susan Carlson, Chris Magic Man, Travis Tewitt, Chris Williams, Julian Jordan, Brent Smith, Tom Comiskey, and Timmy Tuzun. So thank you so much for sharing the show. And so we like them a little better. And if you would like to be liked even a little betterer, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out, which is greatly appreciated.
We just did a retrospective on Batman the Animated Series, talked about our favorite episodes, the origin of Harley Quinn. And then coming up, Joe's got a couple of interviews that are going to be a part of it. At least one of them will be
one
on the Patreon.
For sure.
So, yeah, we got some good stuff coming up there, and we're still deciding what to do next on the actual episode,
yeah.
But there will be something.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I guess that's all that. Do we have any news?
Dan DiDio got fired from DC Comics.
So what is the, like, I know that comic sales have been on decline, but I don't follow exactly what Marvel and DC are doing these days, but like, that's, he's been the co-publisher with Jim Lee for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. He's been the head guy for longer than that. Like, he was doing some other stuff. Like,
right. But he's been the co-publisher.
Yes,
for
yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't know. There's never been a reason as to what it is.
Was he in charge of the New 52 reboot?
Yeah.
Was that his baby?
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess he's in charge of all the big events that happen and stuff. Like, are things not going well?
I don't know. Like, it's hard to say. I don't think they're not going well. I mean, they pulled Bendis in. Like, that's a big name. That's
a
big get. I just think he wanted to do this thing called 5G, it was going to do newer versions of the... It basically would have been the mid-90s all over again.
I thought it's still happening, though.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But,
you
saw that report yesterday.
I did, yeah. And
I mean, I know that, take it with a grain of
salt.
Cosmic
Book News and Ethan Van Sciver are a bunch of dickbags. So, you know, like, they don't...
But
anything they can say that will defame, like, mainstream comics in general. Yeah, because they're Comicsgate. Like, fuck them.
But,
sorry.
Like, so... AT&T bought Warner in DC.
Which I didn't realize.
Yeah,
when did that happen?
You know, it was Time Warner. Now it's AT&T Warner.
But when did AT&T buy them?
Oh, a year or two ago. I mean, it's recent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
right.
AT&T owns Warner now. And so DC Comics wants to do an event called 5G.
Yeah.
When all the new cell phones coming out are going to be 5G. Uh-huh. Like, that just seems like a really
stupid...
Because when the news article came out that said... DC Comics may be ending if 5G fails. It's like, what the hell does that have to do with the cell phone?
This is the thing.
Like, what
is DC Comics, Marvel Comics, and Image Comics are not going to end.
You wouldn't think
so. That's never going to happen. That's unless there's some sort of catastrophe in the comic book market that where...
Like, we run out of paper.
Yeah. Right. Even then, like, they'll go digital. They don't care, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
but to say that, yeah, comics, one of the two, though. I mean, Image aside, Marvel and DC.
Yeah, never going
to
go
one
away.
Of them to just stop?
No. That'll never happen.
Yeah.
And if it, like I said, if it happens, something bad has happened.
Right.
Like, something real bad. So...
They're grooming all their movie prospects. You know what I mean? Like, these things...
Just the
not,
IPs
they're
alone.
Incubators for movies.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. I don't know.
Comic books are so important to movies now that I mean, they're making movies based off Valiant comics.
Right, yeah. I saw that trailer.
Come on.
Yeah, it's anybody... Sony's like, we got to get something.
What is it?
Bloodshot.
That was a comic?
It is. It still
is.
Valiant
comic book.
Like,
and there was a period where people thought Valiant was going to be...
The next thing.
The next Marvel.
Yeah, it was
like... They thought that was going to be...
They had like Magnus,
I never,
the
I've
robot
never,
hunter.
Yeah. And
Solar.
Turok.
Turok, yeah. The dinosaur hunter.
The video games? Is?
Yeah, it was a comic.
Yeah, it was basically a comic.
But they had all
Harbinger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bloodshot. Exo Man of War.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And but like I've never read any of
them. Neither have I.
But
Spath, like
when they first started,
sporadically,
people raved about them.
When they rebooted it just recently, it was a big to do.
But I never read any of them because, like, when they first started, the print runs were so low.
Yep,
and they came out and like all the number ones of their books were going for like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
and I'm talking in the 90s.
Yeah,
books that were 6 months old right. were going for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
and so like it was really hard to jump on because they were just so damn expensive. Mm-hmm. Do they hold their value at all?
I don't think so because no. Well,
because it was Jim Shooter, right?
Jim Shooter
had been like the big guy at Marvel. He'd done a bunch of stuff. He's probably most famous for, he did Secret Wars, right?
Yep.
He was the
first guy
to like, do a big giant multi-book crossover that affects everything.
He does not get in that Marvel, that Untold. There's a lot of Jim Shooter in that book. Yeah. And he doesn't, he probably does now, but he did not at the time. Like he did a lot to bring in younger talent and kind of change the, make comics cool again. And then,
Stan Lee kind of liked to take credit for everything.
Sure he does.
Yes.
But when you're not editor in chief and somebody else is there making the decisions, like you don't get to make that
claim. We all love Stan Lee and especially 90 something year old Stan Lee and everything, but go read that book or go watch that movie. Yeah.
It's a little revisionist history. It's funny. This is the old wrestling corner. Ding, ding. WWE put out a docuseries about the Ruthless Aggression era, which is like the era right after Attitude. So like 2003 to like 2010 or so, like that time frame. And talk about revisionist history. They're like, no, we took the F off our name because we wanted to be different.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to do this. And I was like, no, you got sued.
I remember that lawsuit playing out in real time for years.
Right, right. Like, and so I'm watching it. It's just like, what? No. You got sued from the World Wildlife Foundation and you just rolled over.
As a kid, I was so mad at the World Wildlife Foundation. You know what I mean? Like,
because
you're a kid and you don't understand. It had nothing to do with their views or what they do. But I'm like, you're making the WWF change its name?
WWF is the F out.
Is better to say.
Yeah.
Than WWE.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's,
F.
Yeah.
WWF.
WWF.
Right. WWE. Yeah, it doesn't have the same impact.
No. I was just like, what are we doing here? Like, anybody who's, like, the people who are going to watch this docuseries, like, we're the ones that were there. We were there when you took, lost, when you literally rolled over in a lawsuit because you didn't want to fight them. So you just, it's like, nah, it's fine. You can take it. This name that has been synonymous with us since the 60s. Revisionist
That's
history.
Crazy.
Yeah, I was nuts. But yeah, so it's I don't know. I don't know why he's leaving. He's been trying to kill Dick Grayson.
Oh, really?
For years.
Why?
Because he doesn't like him. That was he has been trying to kill him, and every time he would do it, he'd get, you know.
Is it like that when it was a
Wally West? Wally West is the same way. He's been trying to get rid of Wally West for years.
But remember, didn't they just recently do that publicity stunt where they acted like they were going to do the phone line again
So they did shoot him in the head, but they just took his memory away. So instead of Dick Grayson, he was Rick Grayson because he didn't. Yeah, this is all like he didn't remember anything. He doesn't remember who, but like he's working at a bar and he would have like muscle memory. Right. So a guy would come into a bar, try to rob the bar, and he'd kick the crap out of him. And he's just like, what is going on?
So it's Last Kiss Goodnight.
Kind of.
Or Long Kiss Goodnight.
Long Kiss Goodnight. Yeah. But now.
So it's now he's
got
of violence.
Now he's got his memory back.
The history of violence.
Kind of. Yes. So he's back to being Dick Grayson. But it's just like there was an event called Forever Evil where it was like, this is it. He's like Dick Grayson is Nightwing is strapped to a bomb. We're going to kill him. And then in the last issue, they're like, never mind. No, we're not. Jeff Johns is like, no, you're not going to kill him. Yeah. You're not going to kill him.
What?
And even if you did, he wouldn't stay dead.
No, of course not.
Books.
Yeah, Jason Todd, the character you're like, you can never bring him back.
Yeah.
He's back.
I mean, they brought back Bucky.
Lazarus Pit fired up.
So, speaking of that, you know, on our Patreon episode, we talked about how there's no mention of Jason Todd.
Yeah.
They're doing a comic book series written by Paul Dini.
Yeah.
where they're going to talk about Jason Todd.
I could not believe the timing when we did
like the day after
the recording. Yeah. We did this Patreon episode about Batman the Animated Series, talked all about it, and then the next day they announced a comic series continuing the universe of the animated series
by the guy that wrote the show
is being done. We're like, where is Paul Dini? They need to hire him again. Give this guy more work. He knows the characters and the blah blah blah. And he gets announced
like,
the next.
Okay,
and does that mean Rick Burchett comes back?
I don't think so. No, it's Ty Templeton is going to do, which is pretty close.
Yeah,
you know,
Rick Birch is from St. Louis.
Yes, he is.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. He did the Batman Adventures. I think he may have done the first appearance of Harley Quinn.
He did that art. He did, because
I think I read
something where somebody came up to him like an industry type, and they were like, "Do you still have that original artwork?" And he's like, "Yeah." And they were like, "Do not sell it."
Yeah.
They're
for
like,
sure.
Like, do not sell it right now.
That's a million dollar piece of art.
Yeah, this was like right before she blew up, and they were like, it's going to be a thing.
Oh, he has the original Harley Quinn, the first appearance of Harley, the page layouts, everything.
He's got it. And it's, yeah. I mean, that's a million. I have to believe.
From the comic book appearance, not the, gotcha.
No, yeah, from Batman Adventures 12.
Right. Not from the show, from the first comic book appearance.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, she started in the comic and then... I thought she started in the comic and then got...
Because Batman Adventures 12 or whatever was after the show had already started.
Gotcha.
It was the extended adventures on the comic.
Yeah.
But no, it... which one was it? Was it Joker's Favor? Joker's Favor is the first appearance. It was like the... I want to say the seventh aired in the first season.
Yeah.
We did this a couple weeks ago. but yeah, it was her...
I don't have the
first,
numbers in
and
front
she was
of me
supposed to be
time.
A one-off. She was supposed to be like, oh, let's give Joker a henchman, a goofy, like a jester... You know, henchwoman.
And now here we are.
Yeah. Now she's her own property.
One really bad movie, one meh movie. But yeah, so I, who knows what the and that dude, like, it was that day. Like, they're like, security's here. Put your in this box. We'll see you later.
Yeah. They didn't, they still haven't said, like,
no.
That makes me think there's something.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, that HR was involved.
Yeah.
That
I mean, so that means that Jim Lee probably is gonna take over for now.
So now every issue comes out 6 months later.
Yeah, no kidding.
With tiny ankles.
With itty bitty ankles and giant lines and pouches.
Hey, he's not a Rob Layfield.
That guy is a scumbag.
Really?
Yeah.
No, what has he done?
He has been lightened. He's like, Dan DiDio sucks. He's been holding DC back for years.
Oh.
Thank God he's gone.
I didn't hear him voicing any of this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all on his Twitter. It's like, you're the Donald Trump of comic books.
I guess he's got that Deadpool money now. He can just say whatever he wants. Like, does he not have to work anymore?
No, but nobody wants to buy his crap anyway.
I'm just saying, like, does he like set now because he created it? I don't know
he's gone off the deep end. Like, he's always been kind of outspoken. He's always kind of been that one guy that has kind of had that, kept that punk rock attitude when he really doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, he went off on DCBS because I guess they have like, that's the grading service. Mm-hmm. They have like Deadpool labels, like with Deadpool on them. And he's like, I'm not signing anything with that on it. Blah, blah. And it's just like, and he was, what was he?
And why? Because he isn't getting money from that label?
Or? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like, he's a scumbag. You know. But there's actually a really good Image documentary, on Prime. That's really good. Hmm. Like, it's a good watch. And they say that, I think it's funny that McFarlane's the only one that hasn't gone back. Everybody else from that original group has gone back and done something for the big two, whatever it may be, and Todd's the only one's like, nah, I'm good, I'm gonna sit over here and draw Spawn.
Yeah, so what is he, what, who does he work for?
I mean, he created the company.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's he doesn't have to work for anybody.
I see.
You know, like, he created Spawn and I'm sure he gets some sort of residuals for any Venom merchandise that has
were they giving them that back
that
then?
Not back then. That's why they all left.
Right.
But I have to believe he's probably getting something now.
Why? Why would they give it to him?
I guess that's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
what's the upside? I know that they finally started giving credit to some people from the stuff from the Golden Age.
Right.
Just because people were like, you're being dicks.
Yeah.
But,
that's true. I guess I felt like they were giving him something for Venom.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that's what he said. He was like, I went to Target and all of a sudden that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. He's like, I'd go to the store and there's my art on a T-shirt and I wasn't getting any money for it. And they were just, he was like, and that was it. And I left. Then we all packed up and went to Image.
Wow. Yeah. But he created Image? McFarlane?
McFarlane, Layfield, Silvestri, Eric Larson, Wilts Pacheco.
That's it. I was like, who's the guy that did Wetworks that never came out?
Wilts Pacheco.
Yeah. And Tribe.
And Shadowhawk?
Shadowhawk was an Image book. I forget who did it.
I think it was Pacheco. There's another one. Jimmy Palmiotti was there. Like all those five though.
Yeah.
You know, that was your Spider-Man artist, your X-Men artist.
Like all the big artists were like, we're out.
Wolverine and X, like those guys were, see ya.
So you think McFarlane still kind of like holds a grudge? Like he, out of principle, won't go back?
No, I don't think so. I just think he doesn't have to.
He doesn't need to.
No, I mean, Jim Lee broke off and sold, he did Wildstorm and then sold that to DC. And there's Top Cow.
And he's
which
got McFarlane Toys, which does...
It just got the DC license.
Yeah, so I mean,
so they're doing DC toys that aren't good.
Oh, yeah. They're not.
I don't like them. Their face, like the bodies are fine, but their faces are wonky.
Faces are
like,
tough on toys if you don't get them right.
Go look at that Toy Fair stuff. Like Toy Fair is happening right now. Yeah.
And oh my gosh, there's so much cool stuff.
Oh man, Spath sent me a picture of they're re-releasing the original Ghostbusters figures from when we were kids.
Right.
Like, and I was like, oh.
They're cool.
Those look so good. But yeah, and so, it, you know, good luck to him. I don't want anybody to lose a job, right? Like, I'm, do I agree with every decision that guy made with the company? Absolutely not. But he gave guys a shot, you know, he gave up and coming artists a shot, and, you know, you can't be mad at that forever. So we'll see what happens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bit of news items here. Did you see that Billie Eilish wants Michael B. Jordan to be the next Bond? They were talking to her. She does the No Time to Die theme.
How is that? I haven't listened to it.
It's okay. I don't think it's as good as some of the past ones. But
I mean,
the
when you have Adele doing one, it's
right.
Kind of,
I mean,
you know, like that one was on another
so
level.
There's so much power behind that one, and it's so good.
Did
and
Tina
I,
Turner do one?
Can't remember. Sounds possible.
Did she do one of the Brosnan ones?
I don't know about the Brosnan ones, but yeah, I mean, it's a very slow, very reserved. It's a 180.
You know what my favorite one is?
She did Goldeneye.
Okay.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, I thought
no kidding. I didn't
realize
that.
Casino Royale. That's my favorite one.
Really?
But with Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, but
Live and Let Die. Come on.
Okay. Fair enough. All right.
Yeah.
That's good. Fair. Yeah.
So I saw the internet's kind of given up on Idris Elba. I think it's just like it's been talked about so long, and it's
never like now it's become too obvious.
Right.
Michael B. Jordan, no.
No,
I don't
agree.
You can't put an American in that role.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people were like, yeah, but first of all, shouldn't be American. someone had put Daniel Kaluuya in the running because he's British. But I don't know if he appears
there's you need to have some sort of gravitas to
there's
be
just,
Bond.
There's like a swagger. There's just a there, Bond is the most confident, cocky.
And Idris Elba has that
swagger.
He does.
Yeah.
And so does Michael B. Jordan.
Totally.
Except he's American. Can he do accents?
I'm sure he can.
I don't know. Why are you sure he can?
I feel like if you're a professional actor, you could do an accent.
I don't think so.
I could probably point you to some great evidence against that, Joe.
I'd like to introduce you to a movie called Robin Hood.
They're just like, no, never mind. Just talk like you're from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. At this point, it's sad because Idris Elba seems like such a great choice, but it is starting to be like,
It needs to be now.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, he's not getting any younger.
Right. That's
what
I'm
old,
saying. Yeah.
6 years ago or whatever, when they were talking about actually replacing, like people thought, oh, he's too old then. Now it's like, well, crap.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think he'd be
it's
good.
Too far away.
Another one. Let's see here. Oh, Liam Neeson was asked in an interview about does he want to do any more superhero or Star Wars movies?
And he said only if he could kill a black mugger.
Oh, jeez.
Can I be Darkman?
Oh, I had forgotten all about that interview. So
I don't think he could be Darkman.
Nope.
No,
he doesn't want to be Darkman anymore. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So he says he has no interest. So as in, I guess no one's asked him in a while. So.
He said that about action movies, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said, I don't want to do them anymore. And then he came out with, like, two more after that.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that scene where he jumps the fence?
Absolutely.
There's, like, 85 edits.
Yeah.
That was the... It just hurts your soul to watch that. To where they couldn't just get a stuntman to do it. Like, I don't understand why they had Liam Neeson in 50 different shots
trying to jump a fence.
Like, that was never going to work.
Remember when he stopped a train with his bare hands? No, it didn't happen.
I'm like, wait a minute, huh?
That was that. What was that? That one was it? Walk among the tombstones.
I never saw that one. I think you guys.
That was all right.
Yeah,
that was kind of the last.
Because that's part of a series.
No,
because
he had that.
The train one.
The train. I thought Walk Among the Tombstones was after that.
And no, it was before it.
And then that's what I mean. The train came after that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, but then he also had that one that was based on the foreign movie In Order of Disappearance.
Really?
It just came out like a year ago.
So that's what I was saying. But like, he, Walk Among the Tombstones, he was like, okay, I'm done.
Oh,
and then he got two.
I thought you were saying
no,
that.
No,
was
no,
like,
no.
Okay,
no, no.
Didn't
Walk Among the Tombstones is a book series, but
like
it's like
the third in the book.
Book?
Yeah.
Just random.
So, and the other, the last thing that I have is that Eli Roth is going to direct a Borderlands movie.
I don't care. Eli Roth can drop off the face of the earth.
I know,
like,
you're
that,
not a fan.
You know what? No, I'm not. Yeah. It's the, I think they just added Green Inferno to Netflix, and I had never seen it. And I was like, all right, I'll give it
a go.
That's
the movie they hyped up to be the most
and they pulled
disturbing.
It. They pulled it for a minute, and then they put it back out. Mm. And then it was just like, yeah, this is why they pulled it. It sucks.
Oh, it's not good?
No, it's terrible. Oh. Like, and it's gross. Like, that's the thing. It's like,
oh, so the gore, like, because that's the one they said people were passing out and they're throwing,
yeah, there's a
reason. Like,
I could see that because it is very gross.
Like, it's on the screen. They actually show,
yes,
really gross.
Yes. So. Yeah. But, I mean, we didn't talk about the Batman suit.
Oh, we haven't talked about that yet?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
No, not
well,
at all.
I think everyone on the internet has seen it by now.
Yeah.
But,
I don't like it. And oh. if I don't like it at all.
But
if it is,
but you're
if,
seeing it.
If they're saying that this is like, the first
his
suit
first that he put together,
I'll let it slide
because it looks like something someone would like,
yeah,
haphazardly put together.
But that cowl is not good. I don't like that cowl. I could deal
certain,
with like the, I could deal
angles,
with the collar
at certain angles. I get it when you see these photos. So they were filming in Scotland with a
well,
stunt
even
double.
That even that video they posted, I didn't like it.
Yeah. So the deal is a little over a week ago, Matt Reeves, the director of The Batman starring Robert Pattinson, if you haven't seen it, I know you have, but if you haven't somehow seen this, he put out a screen test in the dark with just a red light. It was very teaserish, and it showed the chest and it went up to the cowl and showed you from the side what the profile looked like of the new bat suit. So then, and you know, a few days later, they go and they film, I guess, some maybe test shots or maybe they're real shots, but they're in Glasgow.
That dude falls off the bike, so I have a feeling it's just a.
Well, I don't think they're using. I don't think they're using that in the
felt
film.
Felt bad
though.
For that stunt man. I saw that back wheel start to go. I was,
yeah,
like, ooh, this is good.
Yeah, they're filming basically in the rain in Glasgow, but they're in a cemetery.
Boy, it really is year one.
Yeah, Alfred put the training wheels back on. So
I'll
they,
just run everywhere.
Yeah, they're filming here, and you get a pick. You get a really good shot of the stunt double who looks like Ben Affleck.
It did look like Ben Affleck.
Suit,
yeah,
so you're like, what? But it's the stunt double on a bike, and it has kind of a bat ear look to the bike, so it looks to be his bat cycle.
Yeah,
and you see a female who matches the description of Catwoman.
Could be Catwoman
in a leather biker outfit and a helmet on. So anyway, all these pictures got released and everything, and you know, whenever you see set photos like a paparazzi set photos, not,
yeah,
even professional stuff, I mean, it always looks wonky. Do you guys remember talking about Shazam?
Yeah, the Shazam
looked
one,
like,
oh, yeah,
a joke.
Yeah,
and you know how great that movie was, so I'm not gonna judge it. Like, I'm excited to see the design and the bat logo, and like I'm excited to see a little bit of a preview of it, but I'm not going like, oh well, that's what it looks like, and so
right,
it's gonna suck. I mean, you gotta give it lighting, camera work, even the CG enhancements.
Yeah, who knows what they're gonna do with CG.
And he doesn't,
right,
have a cape in those stills. You know, the capes are like CG now a lot of the time.
I mean, if this is a year one suit, I could see him not, yeah, having a cape.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
I could see. I mean,
like Batman
to be,
without a cape.
I don't either, but I could see it yeah, being like, oh, this is why I need one.
Yeah. I still think the chest thing, I mean,
if it's real, if that's
well,
legit.
We talked about this online a couple of years ago. Kevin Smith wrote a comic book where he goes to a like an underground pawn shop or whatever, and this pawn shop has all these weapons that have committed famous crimes in Gotham City history, and he finds the gun that killed his parents,
yeah,
and he melts it down and makes his bat logo out of the gun. Like, I think that's,
yeah,
a really cool concept.
If that's what he's doing. That's
but
dope.
this new suit clearly looks like the butt of a gun with a hammer. Like, it,
yeah,
looks like he's taken, yeah, that. And Kevin Smith hasn't confirmed or denied, but he retweeted and he's like, oh my god, if this is true, like, Kevin Smith wrote this.
No ears,
like,
no ears though, which I think is kind of, like, it's weird to see that suit, that emblem, without ears, but that's how the original one looked. Like,
oh,
the
30, yeah,
the 39 one didn't have ears, like,
right,
it was just wings.
Well, and especially if you're making it out of gun parts, like, how
I mean
the ears,
like,
are the little,
just,
but the,
like,
ears are the
little
hammers though. I mean, there is,
nah,
those,
I mean,
go up on each side.
Oh,
those
do
are
they?
Supposed to be the ears, like, they're there. It's just, this is like, if he's doing it on his own and he doesn't have Lucius Fox or,
right,
anyone to help him, I mean, I could see him assembling some kind of a mishmash.
Yeah,
maybe by the end he gets a legit,
yeah,
yeah,
give so, me that blue and gray suit.
I don't know. Right. I mean, I'm going to reserve judgment. I think it could be cool, but from the top down, that cowl, I know what you're talking about.
I don't
like the
like
forehead
it at all.
Looks too big, and it just, like, It doesn't look right.
Leather. Like, it's very, like, but it looks like patent leather.
Yeah, but maybe this
Pattinson
is...
Patents in leather. Yeah. Patents in leather, sorry.
But maybe this is a screen test. Maybe this is, like, how will this cow look in action shots
or
whatever.
Yeah, maybe. So, I don't know.
You know, reserve your judgment. The people are like, this sucks. You know, first of all, there people are still going on about, oh, it's the sparkly Twilight guy.
I'm done with that part. Yeah.
I'm like, look at my list of 7 other movies he's done that have nothing to do. Like, yeah, dude was an up-and-coming actor and cashed in
did
a major film.
What people would have said about John Travolta in Pulp Fiction if the internet had existed then.
What did they say about Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
And the internet didn't exist.
Yeah.
But they always do it. And it's just, it's so silly. It's like, these are actors. They're playing parts. They aren't the part. They aren't any one part that they play.
Right.
He took a job and he was in a worldwide phenomenon of a movie, and
a young actor.
Yeah, and you can poke fun at it all you want, but the dude took
a role.
And
I will.
And I will.
Yeah, and it's fine. You don't have to like that movie, but
if he sparkles in this movie, I'm going to be pissed.
I hope he does now.
Yeah.
So I hope he sparkles. I hope he drinks sparkling water. I hope he changes Robin's name to Sparkles. Robin Sparkles.
Robin Sparkles.
Oh.
Yeah, I like it.
Crossover we didn't know we needed.
Who knew?
So it's just like, come on. Get over the Twilight thing, first of all, and I think this will shut up a lot of haters if it ends up being good.
Yeah.
But also, like, yeah, these set photos aren't the... exactly what
end
it's
all
going.
Be all
so,
there you go.
Well, I think that's it.
Well, I want to circle back around a new story we never got to.
Oh yeah,
please.
That about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh,
about the quote from Bob
Iger.
Up.
Oh no, don't shut up,
where he said the future of Star Wars is in television.
Yeah,
you heard it here first.
We I think Joe and I, when we recorded the one that you weren't on, like, we did somewhere we gave you credit.
Did you?
Yeah, we already did bring this up, but
I was just like, oh, look at that.
Look at that.
But Bob Iger actually said that?
I think so. Hang on, I got that.
I didn't realize it was Bob Iger.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob Iger, the chairman and chief executive of Walt Disney Company, revealed today's investors call the priority in the next few years is television.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually thinking about this. They need something on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, they need it pretty bad. Like, it's great to go back through and flip through that nostalgia stuff,
but that you can only scratch that itch for so long.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the Mandalorian scratched that itch for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And now
there's some other good stuff on there. If you're a Disney fan, the Imagineering thing where they go behind the scenes and they go through how the rides were originally made and the original parks. And then the newer stuff is really fascinating. The Jeff Goldblum series is really fun, where he goes around and just explores different things and why people love to, whether it's eat ice cream or go swimming or jeans. I mean, he goes and explores just random topics.
You mean like denim?
Yeah, he goes and explores, like, why people, how denim got started, the different kinds,
so weird.
Denim conventions. Like, yeah, sneakers. You know how sneakers are crazy now with people that trade and buy hundreds, thousands of dollars in sneakers. I mean, he just goes and explores different topics, and he's so quirky and
like
weird.
I spent $20 on a
It's awesome. There's good shows. I mean, High School Musical, the musical, the show or whatever.
Yeah, I agree, but that has, like, that has an audience.
Oh, sure.
I think for the bigger audience.
Yeah. The Mandalorian was the worldwide mainstream.
Yeah. And you need to get that cap show in the Wanda Vision and
Loki. And you know what? People in other countries are pissed because, the U.S. is getting all these shows pretty soon. And they're like, so we'll be slowly rolling out some of these properties. And people in the U.K. are like, they just got it, first of all.
I wonder what the logic is there.
Yeah, why do
that?
I
don't know why, but, like, the U.K. just got Disney Plus. They were odd to wait.
How is that?
And then they're telling them, like, oh, you will get some of the shows slowly rolled out.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why, you know, WWE did that, where it's like they released the network here in the States, but then they're just like, oh, it just went into Canada, or not into Canada, but like China, like a year ago.
Well, I think one of the reasons is that, I mean, the network and the infrastructure, when you're adding on tens of millions of users, it's a lot of stress on a server, just the logistics of how they handle everything. So I think that the U.S. is such a large in-demand market. They're like, if they're going to open a huge market, well, we got to get to the U.S., but that's also going to be our stress test. Like, we
got
to make sure this works.
I gotcha.
And then we say, oh, we've got this many millions of people. We have these servers and these blah, blah, blah. Okay, now we got to quadruple it. Let's go to the U.K.
Right.
I think that, remember when Disney Plus the first day just went
crashed,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's
for
because they didn't anticipate 10 million users in one day. Like, literally, I think that's what signed up. And
that,
so
that gerbil's like, what?
Yeah.
I thought it was just, oh no.
So when you open worldwide day one, it's like, well, you haven't even had the chance to test, like, the U.S. crash day one. So
sure.
I think that's their thinking, is like, well, we got to open in the U.S., but, like, we have to slowly roll out to these properties. But yeah, in a perfect world, it sucks because it's like all this stuff's online. People in a different country are watching it.
Right.
And you got to sit there and twiddle your thumbs. I mean, it's kind of the same with movie releases where like
yeah, kinda,
the UK,
that's true.
Sometimes they get it first, but more often than not, the UK is like 3 weeks later, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to see, you know, whatever. Just it's like
Jurassic World 2.
We've had that for three. Yeah. Yeah. So
I will say that's the other thing that WWE is looking to sell the pay-per-view rights to ESPN Plus.
Oh.
So the pay-per-views that were on the network would be on ESPN Plus.
Wait a minute.
I think they're selling the big four. I think they'll sell WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series.
It's like I don't even know.
Sorry,
who you
we
are
can't anymore. Yeah, sorry, we can't help.
Whatever the fourth one is, like.
But wait, you're telling me they roped in all these people to WWE streaming, and then they include all the pay per views. You're telling me now they're going to bait and switch them and say, "Oh, but you don't get WrestleMania. Oh, you don't get SummerSlam. You have to pay for that again."
So I think this year will be on the network.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised if next year. Oh, the Royal Rumble. That's the fourth one. I would not be surprised if next year the big four. Now every other one for the, you know, the not the
ladders
big four,
and chairs match
TLC
or whatever,
or Hell in a Cell in will be or, on the network.
Yeah, but you know, I would not be surprised when their subscribers drop 80%.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
they have such a value, and we talked about it. It was like, well, yeah, it's a numbers game. Okay,
sure.
So how are they selling $10 a month when one pay per view is 50? Like that's crazy. But look at the millions of subscribers they gained.
Right.
But if you're going to tell them now, oh well, you don't get the benefit you signed up for. Now you get to, like they're going to lose.
Yeah.
Most of the.
Yep. It's. I mean, like I think the hardcore fans will stay because the catalog is ridiculous. Yeah. Right. You can watch anything,
sure,
any promotion, whatever.
But when you take away, it's different. Like, you know what I mean? If you never had it before and you did whatever, okay. But when you give someone a taste and you take it away,
yeah,
you feel, you know, 10 times more betrayed. Like,
I honestly, if it can improve the product, fine. And if it's the big four, fine. Like, I for me, it's just like, yeah, sure. But I can absolutely see for the casual fan,
the kids that like it,
that'll kill it.
Parents that get it for their kids because they like wrestling and they don't watch it or care. Like for me, I signed up for Ryan. I mean, I used to watch it, but yeah, I don't really care.
$10 a month.
But yeah, Ryan likes it. I mean, but we haven't watched it in forever. I need to just cancel it. But if they told me that now you're taking away any of the main value that was there, it's like we're not going through and watching Royal Rumble 87. You know, it's just like
it was 89. But all right,
it started in 89.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
yeah,
I'm lying. It was 87. Oh. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, that's a mistake, I think. But
yeah, it's a huge mistake, and we'll see. We'll, like I said, I think so. WrestleMania is in April, and I feel like after, I feel like if it's gonna happen, they will announce it at that Mania.
Yeah.
Like that's what they tend to do, is they'll announce, you know, wherever the next WrestleMania is gonna be, they'll announce it at that show. Mm. Whatever big announcement is, because I think they announced the network at a WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like, so they use that.
Sure, it's a huge platform.
Yeah, and they're just,
they're going to use that platform to say, "Hey, yeah, by to the all way. You 100 million subscribers, next year this will not be on this channel. You'll be paying $50. Let's hear it.
What's up?" All of a sudden, everybody's like, "Oh no, what happened?" That one dribble is like, "Whew, man!"
I'm thinking more like the day after WrestleMania. Yeah. They'll announce that they will quietly take it away, and they'll send you an email about it that goes in your spam.
Right.
And next year, you'll be like, "Why don't I have Royal Rumble?
What happened to Royal What's Rumble? Happening? Where is it?" But yeah, I found that funny.
Well, I guess after all that, we should probably
quickly
turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and it looks like the movie of the week is not on here, surprisingly.
Shockingly enough. I would say Amazon Prime did see a weird uptick in the streaming.
Oh, my God. 300%. Did you guys watch it on Prime?
Yeah, I watched it on Prime.
Staying Alive?
No, I watched it on Vudu.
Oh. Did you buy it?
I rented it.
Oh, whew. I'm like...
I definitely
like, you really
not.
Ever going to watch that again?
No.
I definitely did not pay for it.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I mean, I guess I did because I pay for Prime. So
it's one of those tricky situations where you're like, it's free on Prime.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I say the same thing because I agree because like, you're not going to not get Prime. Free shipping on like
right.
It is.
I didn't even think to look to see if it was on Prime. I just went and rented it on Vudu. Whoops.
Just Watch, man. You don't use Just Watch?
Half the time it doesn't pull. Half the time,
same problem for me.
Most of the time it works for me. You literally, for listeners, you go on Google and you just type in the name of the movie, Just Watch, after the name of the movie, and usually it's the first result. And this website, Just Watch, will tell you everywhere it's streaming for purchase, for rental, and for free, like Amazon, HBO, Showtime, Cinemax.
Sure.
It's an amazing service.
No, it is. But I'm with Tom. Like sometimes it won't.
Sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. It's been pretty accurate. But yeah, it's wonky sometimes. Sometimes I go and I click on like Cinemax, for example, and then I go to the page and it's like, it's not free. Like, they had taken it off.
Right.
So there must be a delay where Just Watch can't, you know, a lot of movies out there.
Sure.
And so it will be a little outdated sometimes, but anyway. So yeah, Staying Alive is not in the top 10 at the box office.
In the top 10 of the box office?
It was a huge financial success.
Shut up.
We will talk about
that. Wait a minute.
Man, I'm excited.
Really? Okay. Yes. Well,
okay.
All right. Well, we will definitely get in that. So this week, number one is, much to Harrison Ford's chagrin, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh.
So another kids movie opens, like, animal movie.
Just barely,
but still in week two. Sonic the Hedgehog is hanging on with $28 million, a 52% drop, $108.3 million for that movie, and another $50 million overseas, so over $150 million on an $85 million budget.
In an alternate dimension, they don't change that model.
In the worst timeline. It flops.
Yeah.
Oh, in the worst time.
Yeah.
We talked about it before, but I think it's astounding that a studio, which, you know, studios can make some bad decisions.
Oh, do we?
They chose to release that trailer, and somehow, in some way, like, I don't know how they did it, but they listened, they fixed it, they did it right, and now this movie is the number one movie 2 weeks in a row. Like, yeah, you're 100% right. That design doesn't change, and this movie's a flop.
It's a flop. It's a massive flop.
So whatever they spent, $15, $20 million to fix it, or $8 million to fix it, whatever it was, like, that was best investment.
You know who's really kicking themselves in the ass? No. About the change in the CG and this being a huge hit?
Cats?
People who made Cats.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely,
so,
they are.
Yeah, remember when that trailer dropped for Cats in July of last year?
They had all kinds of
time to
fix that.
The movie came out Christmas or whatever. Like, July, the trailer came out. And everyone. And Tom Hooper said, oh, the visual effects aren't done yet. Yeah, it looked just like that.
Yeah, they said that about Wolverine Origins, too.
Oh, God. Shaky
claws.
Never forget that. So anyway, I mean, good for them. I think that's awesome. Like, you know, and the internet's been pretty nice to it, and it has.
Thank God it made money.
Oh yeah,
you know definitely. What I'm saying. Like, if they fix it and it didn't make money,
I said it last week. I was so worried they do this fix and then people are like, yeah, cool, looks great. I'm not going to see that movie. Like, that would suck. So good for them.
That is the internet, though. Like, well, oh, we're going to cry out about it, but we're not going to do anything to fix it.
But a lot of times it is, but it wasn't here.
It wasn't here.
And
no,
people
totally.
Of all ages, people took their kids. A lot of people, I was just saying, the internet's been pretty kind to Sonic. Like, people are enjoying it. There's some people, you know, in the film tour community, they're just like, oh, this is terrible, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a kid's movie. It's a serviceable kid's movie.
It's a run-of-the-mill
Come
kid's
on.
Movie.
Yeah.
Like it's, to yeah. say it's awful.
Is it rewriting the book? No.
No, it's totally, So anyway, but I'm glad it's doing well. Good for that movie. And I also have to say that Ben Schwartz has another movie that just came out. So 2 weeks in a row, he has new movies.
Yeah, what was that?
Standing Up, Falling Down with Billy Crystal. It is so good.
Is that streaming?
Yeah, it came out like LA, Chicago,
oh,
New
sure,
York,
sure,
and
sure.
theaters. But it's available to buy now. It's only $12.99 to buy on Vudu. It is $6.99 to rent. So, you know, it's cheaper than a theater ticket, and you can have your whole family watch it or whatever. I mean, it's not a kid's movie, but Billy Crystal is back in a way that, like, I haven't seen this Billy Crystal. Kind of like we talked about Jim Carrey, but in a different type of, like, this is
he's not doing the goofball Billy Crystal.
Yes, this is a really good dramatic role, but also, I mean, we've talked about it before, Ben Schwartz is hilarious. Like, you know this guy is funny, and then Billy Crystal, and you've got The Return, and these two guys, it's basically about a guy that, it's called Standing Up, Falling Down. Ben Schwartz had moved from New Jersey to L.A. to pursue a stand-up comedy career. As so often those things go, it doesn't work out. He has to move back home with his parents. He's like 34, you know, and so it's just all about, like, you know, talking to your parents and dad being like, I told you so. And the mom being like, oh, honey, blah, 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 you know, now, okay, what can I do for you? Oh, I'm going to apply you for this job, whatever, you know, the nagging kind of like overbearing mom. And he meets Billy Crystal at a bar, and this guy is like this total, I mean, he's just like a drunken, loudmouth type guy. And they end up forming this friendship, and it's really funny. It's really heartfelt. It's a really, really good movie.
He was part of Meltdown for a while. I think Ben Schwartz was a stand, like, would do stand up. I think him and Jonah Ray and Camille Nanjami, like, those guys.
Really?
I think I'm almost positive.
I didn't know he was in that.
I think he ran with that crowd.
But he's an improviser for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where he started. So go check it out. It's a really good movie. And if you have missed Billy Crystal, like, this made me remember, like, because it's like, you know, sure, he does
it's
the monsters.
I haven't missed Billy Crystal. And I don't mean in a bad way. Like, I just
but remember how great, how funny his movies were and how big of a deal he was.
How funny two of his movies were.
Well, I mean, Billy Crystal was a funny guy.
No, I mean, he was great on SNL.
Analyze This was really good.
Analyze three of his movies.
City Slickers 1.
City Slickers, Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
analyze this.
So, but I mean, okay. Billy Crystal was a funny...
No, not... what was the one with Jeremy... Not Jeremy Irons. Gregory Hines.
Oh, Running Scared?
I love that movie.
Yeah, that's a funny
movie. I think Billy Crystal... Yeah. But that's the thing you forget because we haven't seen Billy Crystal.
Right.
I mean, he does the monster's voice. I'm sure he's making a ton of dough. He never has to work again.
Yeah, for sure.
Being Mike Wazowski. But you forget how good those movies were. And so to see him back in this role where it's... Yes, he's very funny, but he's also... like very troubled and gives a heartfelt performance and he's dealing with a lot of stuff. And like these two find each other at the exact time they needed a friend.
Right.
And they form this friendship. It's funny. You laugh, you cry. I mean, it's just, it's a really good movie. So I can't recommend it highly enough. Standing Up, Falling Down, just cool. Buy it for $12. You know, it's worth it. So anyway, so yeah, congrats to Ben Schwartz, man. And I didn't even mention though, like Ben Schwartz is a goofball. He's John Ralphio Saperstein on Parks and Rec. I mean, he's a really funny guy, but like he actually acts in this movie. Yeah. He has to, you know, he has some chops.
He doesn't sing his dialogue.
It's interesting, yeah. Which would have been interesting. So coming in at number two, The Call of the Wild, $27.5 million.
Creepy CG dog.
What did you think about this, Tom?
Yeah. I mean,
is it as good as it looks?
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest problem I had with this movie was an all CG dog. I get that for stunts. I'm not saying put animals in dangerous situations. Totally get it. But for close-up shots when he's sitting next to a dog,
yeah,
and it looks so bad and so uncanny.
Yeah.
They made a mistake going 100%.
They
CG.
Did. They wanted to have these big giant action scenes instead of the heartfelt drama. Yeah. And I think they thought they had both and they just did not. And
how do you care about a fake, okay.
A dog that looks blatantly fake.
Animated movies are different because you're in the world. They're all
right,
animated.
Yes.
But in real life, when you see Harrison Ford next to a clearly fake dog, how are you supposed to care? It's not physical. It's not real.
Harrison Ford didn't care.
Well.
No, you know, honestly, he's fine in this
movie. It looks like he's giving it his all.
Yeah, like he's, he's so weird about the things he cares about.
Yeah.
And my guess is because the source material is Jack London, that he was probably like, no, I'm going to
give it
you're
a go.
You're going to get the real deal here.
Yeah. Sure.
And I feel like he does his best, but it just lives and dies on the CGI dog that doesn't look good at all.
Sure.
Not at all. I mean, those trailers are laughably bad. I remember seeing that trailer
the first time I saw it, I was like, is that?
Oh,
what are we doing?
And a lot of it, too, is like it's the dog is so over animated. Like,
sure.
Every time he runs somewhere, he slides into something.
And his face
then,
is like, whoo!
Like, yeah, he almost looks like Scooby-Doo.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. He has this, like, his animated expression is so fake compared to what a real dog. I mean, dogs make goofy faces, but this dog is like,
right.
You know.
Well, especially when, you know, we just saw The Lion King.
Right.
And whether you like it or not, you can't deny those animals looked real.
That is a technical achievement.
Yep. Yeah.
We've never seen that.
And so if they could have done a dog like that, then they might have had something.
Just get, you know, I have to think that the reason they did all CG was for Harrison Ford. I don't think he would have had the patience
to work with a dog.
You know.
Is he an animal rights guy? Would he maybe not have taken the role?
Oh, I don't
or
know.
Or maybe close to Flockhart is, and he's like, you know what?
That could be
happy life, happy wife.
That could be true.
Or not wife / girlfriend.
I just feel like Harrison Ford is, you know, he has a reputation for being a little old and cranky.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's funny, but, you know, he's Harrison Ford. He's not getting any younger. And I feel like he might have been like, yeah, I'm not going to wait for an animal to do 50 takes to look at me right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the other thing is, too, props to Harrison Ford. When I saw the behind the scenes, it, like Joe mentioned, and he's acting against a dude in a motion capture suit on all fours, like for him to give that serious of a portrayal, you have to be an actor to seriously act against a person
to look
on
at this
fours.
Guy being like, what are we doing?
He's like rubbing his belly.
I don't know that he's ever been in a movie like that.
I don't think so.
No, because in Star Wars,
he's working against Peter Mayhew.
Right. Like he's working against real people.
Yeah.
I mean, in costumes, but
still real people.
But real people.
I don't know that he's ever done one of those either. But anyway, I just, it's a shame because it looked like a good story. It's based on a famous story, but I just.
Oh, he was in that Ender's Game. He might have had something like that in Ender's Game.
Yeah, but
they weren't like, I mean, they're all
true.
People,
they
though. It's not
characters.
Like,
yeah.
Probably working on like a green screen set.
Sure. Yeah, obviously he's done that.
Right.
But
no Rocket Raccoon running around
right
in there. So anyway, well, it's a shame. I think they really would have had something there if they could have, you know, it sounds like it was a decent story and
yeah, I mean, it was decent enough. Like, I really think it's the dog kills it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why people aren't showing up. And, you know, you've got, yeah, kids that wanted to see a dog movie, you know, and I'm sure some adults, but, you know, Sonic beat it because it's just weird looking. There's no other way to put it. It's you've got a blue talking hedgehog that they're going to see, and they're like, right. Yeah, this dog movie, the dog looks
weird. I don't know. I will say, I think that box office is better than I would have thought.
I probably they thought, too.
Especially given that Sonic is in its second week is really becoming a little bit of a cultural phenomenon.
Hmm. But, I mean, the budget's $135
million. Is it? I had no idea.
Crazy.
What the budget was. Yeah.
I mean, the Call of the Wild has a budget of $135 million, and it is estimated this weekend to make $27 million. I mean, it's not going to go up. Like, this movie's a huge flop.
Yeah.
It will never make its money back. So, I mean, and look at Sonic has basically made its money back with, you know, marketing and all that stuff. So, I don't know. Anyway, number three, Birds of Prey. Oh, they've got it listed wrong. Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation. I don't know what that is. Is that a new one?
No, yeah, it's a sequel.
Yeah,
never heard of it.
Yeah, they already, yeah. Wow. $7.5 million. It's a 56% drop. It's made $73 million domestic now. And we'll go to the overseas on that. $88 million. So, yeah, well, it's making some decent money. I mean, $84 million budget, so it's made its money back.
But not what they thought.
Not what they thought.
No,
they had.
$300 million. When we talk about Batman v Superman made, what, $700 million?
Yeah.
That was a huge disappointment. I mean, yeah, obviously $150 million or whatever isn't going to be what they want for a DC movie. Uh-huh. But anyway.
It's the best you can hope for at this point.
Yeah. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. And I'm really excited to see what happens with the Suicide Squad. I just, James Gunn putting his, you know, Guardians type spin on these characters, I feel like it could work, but I mean, we'll reserve judgment until then.
Maybe not.
Number four, Bad Boys for Life, $5.9 million, a 59% drop, $191 million domestic.
Nice.
Talk about a movie that's happy with their box office. They've it's almost an exact double overseas. They're approaching $400 million on a $90 million budget.
Good for them. Good timing, so, yeah. You know, and you got the right stuff back.
Bad Boys 4, Life
4.5 for Life.
So definitely going to be coming our way. Number five, another new movie this week that we skipped over, and I'm glad that we did. Brahms, The Boy 2.
That's not the only horror movie that came out this week.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to look this up because I'm like, what the hell is Brahms?
That's the name of the doll? Yeah.
I had no idea. I've never seen the first one.
It's the best.
I never even heard of the first one.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is this a Dracula movie? Who is Brahms? I'm like, what?
No, it's a sequel off of not a good movie. And I thought, I was like, well, that first Ouija movie wasn't good.
Ouija?
Okay.
Remember that
thanks,
debate?
Dan.
Yeah.
but that second one was good. Like, that prequel was good, mm-hmm. right? Like, so I was like, maybe this one. And then I kept reading reviews. I was like, nope, not good.
Yeah.
So I'm
wondering how many people bought tickets to The Boy 2 thinking it was Bad Boys for Life.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids situation.
Yeah.
Oh, we can go do the double feature. They're playing Bad Boys 2, then right. Bad Boys for
yeah,
Life.
Right.
It'll be perfect.
Great.
Coming in at number six, 1917 with another $4.8 million. It's a 41% drop, $152 million domestic on that one. A ton of money overseas. Fantasy Island, the movie from last week, has dropped to seventh place with $4.3 million, a 65% drop, $20 million domestic on that. And worldwide, about $24 million. So,
making money.
Yeah,
of course
budgets.
It did.
Yeah.
Cheap, of course it did.
Cheap budgets. I mean, this is Blumhouse we're talking about here, so they don't fail often at the box office.
They don't.
And number eight, Parasite. Look at the surge in box office for that. This is in week 20 now, technically.
Yeah.
And because of the Oscars resurgence, it's made another $3.5 million. It is now up to almost $50 million.
And it's available on streaming.
Like, that's the thing.
I did see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll never understand that.
Yeah.
I know there's some cinema purists out there, but if you would give me the opportunity to go to a movie and especially buy multiple tickets for the family, whatever, or just buy to own for $20 even.
And I don't
or
think
just rent it.
I don't think the people going to see it now are cinema purists.
No.
Right.
The cinema purists have already seen
it. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's like,
this is the old people.
Yeah,
right.
I can't
figure out how to work streaming.
Ah, there it
Bingo.
Is. It's the market right there. So Parasite's already made over $150 million overseas, so it's up over $200 million.
What do you see him doing at Marvel?
He apparently has, like, I don't know, but he apparently has, like, 12 offers now for, like,
oh, for
his
sure.
offers are
for
through
sure,
the roof
yeah.
and, like, big budget studio films.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but that would be interesting.
I don't know.
I know that they're already doing it, but Shang-Chi. I was gonna say Doctor Strange.
That's a good call. That's a good call. I like Sam Raimi in that like in that world, but I think Doctor Strange would be a very good fit for him.
And I agree on both points.
Right.
And, and it's like, and I don't like the idea of like, you're an Asian guy, we're gonna have you direct the Asian movie. Like,
that's fair.
He's not a martial arts guy.
It feels a little on the nose.
Yeah, that's
fair. And almost dismissive of his,
what he's just done.
His achievements.
Yeah.
You know, not just with Parasite, but with Snowpiercer and stuff like that. So it's like I don't think you should like put baby in the corner.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And like, and I definitely think that like you should have Asian involvement on a movie like that.
Right.
I just don't know that he's your guy.
You should give it to the Asian action guy, the guy that does the most amazing stunt choreography. I mean, we don't need another Iron Fist on Netflix situation.
Yes. Totally.
So number nine, Jumanji, The Next Level, like just making insane money. $3.1 million brings it up to $311 million domestic, $473 overseas. This thing's approaching $800 million. Like Jumanji, The Next Level is making more than Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Should be a problem.
And I mean, they don't really even do 3D anymore. I think back when Batman v Superman came out, there were more 3D.
Yeah, they got a little bit of a bump.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, sure, there's like one theater in every city that does 3D, but basically they don't do it anymore.
Oh.
And this movie's making crazy money. So good for them. That's insane. I hope that third one's good. And number 10, The Photograph.
I'm just saying that's not the one that I saw.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, you saw something? Oh, this will be interesting. Uh-huh. Okay. So The Photograph is rounding out the top 10 with $3.1 million in its second week. It's almost to $18 million domestic, $50,000 international. It's kind of a weird number. Like one theater overseas.
Totally.
But there is a review from Brad Hyen on ReviewSTL.com. And bonus.
Where does The Lodge fall on that list?
Okay, so I saw people talking about The Lodge online, and my first reaction to that was, what the hell is The Lodge?
Where does it fall on the, out of curiosity? Well, is it even on the list?
Well, let me go to the box office list. 11, 12,
oh my God.
13. Okay, let's go to limited. Nope.
Hmm.
Platform. It is nowhere on the box.
Well, I saw it.
What is The Lodge?
So it is basically, you know that movie The Turning?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Right. So it's the story. It's kind of this elevated horror, right?
You're sure this is out? It wasn't a screening you went to, a special sneak preview?
Now I'm not so sure.
Because, I mean, it's nowhere on the box office. I just don't know if... Well, anyway, keep going. Keep
so
going.
Anyway, it's the... Two kids. It's the George, not George. Who was the Georgie? Georgie's brother.
Oh, Finn Wolfhard?
No, the other one. The other kid. Finn Wolfhard was in The Turning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So.
Right.
Yeah.
The other one. Okay. Bill.
Yeah.
The kid who was Bill.
There you go.
Their mom. It's Alicia Silverstone's in it.
What? Oh.
She's not in it for
long. Seen her in a while.
Yeah. Well, spoilers. She's not in it for long.
Okay.
So they end up having to. They go to this cabin. Their dad is like, I don't know what he does, but basically it's a really good, I don't want to say too much because
it's good.
I liked it a lot. It's very Hereditary meets The Shining.
The synopsis says a soon to be stepmom is snowed in with her fiance's two children at a remote holiday village. Just as relations begin to thaw between the trio,
there's a big
strange and frightening events take place.
So she is the lone survivor of a Heaven's Gate style cult. And she is off. There's something off about her, and the kids don't like her, and they kind of do. Okay. It's I don't want to spoil it because it's nowhere near on anybody's list. But if you like Hereditary and you like kind of that. Lower budget, but like independent horror that's kind of had this resurgence recently. I absolutely recommend it. It does not have a happy ending.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way. Like it's
I can't find it anywhere on the box office. This is weird.
Released though, right?
I don't know. It's so
well, if you saw it,
right? I don't know if he went to like a screening.
I don't
I'm trying
think
to
that
figure
I did.
Out because there's no it just says. When I went back to the actual title, it says domestic, it's made 296,000, but I mean, it could open on either coast or whatever. International, it's made 700 million. It came out in Italy in January. It says, so it's got
700 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I said 700,000.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. I was like
yeah,
what?
No. In Italy, it's made 700 million. They love The Lodge. No, sorry. 700,000. And it opened in Italy in January and worldwide, it has $1 million total. So I don't, I mean, it has some money, but it doesn't even make a chart for box office.
That's so weird. But no, I saw it. Okay. I went
so
to.
So you recommend it?
Absolutely.
If you can find it.
If you can find it, I recommend it. It right. Like I said, if you need to be prepared. It's all set in the one in the lodge yeah. itself.
Okay. So, nice. So yeah. It's like a Hateful Eight. I mean, it's a chamber piece.
Yeah,
they're all in one location.
Yeah. Totally recommend it.
Well, there's three main characters. Two
the
kids.
Four total, including the dad, okay. Who's Richard Armitage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, there you go.
He's the guy from Captain America. He's in The Hobbit.
He's the voice of Wolverine.
Yep. And
on
he was,
a podcast.
And he was Guy of Gisborne in the BBC Robin Hood show. That's the first
oh,
time
really?
I ever saw him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever I saw him in Captain America, I'm like, holy crap, it's the Robin Hood from BBC guy.
Oh, spoilers. He's also not in Captain America for very long either.
Well, right. He's a submarine German capsule
cyanide guy.
Yeah. So that is the well, box yeah. office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and people can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can find me on the next podcast.
And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Of course, wherever you get in your podcast, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out, which is greatly appreciated. So, that's it for this one. Coming up next episode, we're going to make you wait a week. Yeah. Kevin's slow with the editing. Coming up on the next one, we will return to the 0% project, movies that have zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
And has no business having zero. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Should be higher than zero.
Oh, you liked it.
I did, yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, that will be coming up on the next one. We will tackle Staying Alive. Until then, you've been warned.
You can't take 3 from 2. 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the tens place. Now that's really 4 tens, so you make it 3 tens. Regroup, and you change the 10 to 10 ones, and you add them to the 2 and get 12, and you take away 3. That's 9. Is that clear? Now instead of 4 in the tens place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 10 to the 2, but you can't take 7 from 3, so you look in the hundreds place. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 10 ones, and you know why 4 plus minus 1 plus 10 is 14 minus 1, because addition is commutative, right? And so you got 13 tens, and you take away 7, and that leaves 5. Well, 6, actually, but...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.